You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 94. I'm going to give a very short introduction today because Margaret is my guest. She's a bundle of fun. She'll really entertain you. And along the way, we interpret her dream, do some dream alchemy, and reach some very, very deep and enlightening insights. We've done it in such a way that there are lots of dream interpretation tips for you to pick up as you listen. But most of all, I know you're not only going to be inspired by Margaret's own journey, but you're just going to have a lot of fun being entertained by such a really, well, quite a funny person, or as she would describe herself, odd. You'll get to hear why when you listen to a dream. Before I bring Margaret into the show, because of course I've just finished recording it, I'm just adding a little bit of blurb to the front here. Just a reminder that if you want more information on what I do or you want to speak to me privately, www.dream.net.au or my blog at janetheresa.com or find me on Facebook. Let's just get on with the show. Here's Margaret. Welcome to The Dream Show, Margaret. How are you this afternoon?
Well, thank you, Jane Theresa. How are you?
Oh, really good. Yes. Excited, as always, especially when we have a guest on the show. And today you're our guest. You're it.
Yeah, no, it is exciting. Oh, it's very good. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. What have you got for me?
Okay, bit of a long one. And I haven't given it a title. I just couldn't think of anything. So I'll just start reading it out. I was up in the sky, really high, and I think my sister-in-law was with me, Ali. And I first I focused on a little green patch where there were trees and some cows. And then I zoomed out quite a lot, and I was overlooking this beautiful, huge canyon. And I realised that the green patch was so small. And up the side, the green patch with the trees with the cows was up the side of a very steep side of the canyon. And I thought, wow, you know, you just don't realise whatever that means. Then I was moving, and I wasn't in anything. So I wasn't in a plane or anything. It was just me. And then I was moving and I noticed, I looked down. I was still very quite high up in the sky. And I looked down and there was two ranch type houses, but they were very Greek looking. And I thought they looked beautiful and luxurious from the distance. As I was getting closer, I realised that they were quite run down and they were once very luxurious. The yard, I was focusing on one house which was run down, the other one wasn't. The house that was run down, I was looking at the yard, it was all messy, the pool was empty and it had rubbish in it. It just not looked after. I was a little sad, as in its day it would have been gorgeous. Again, I realised this was a tiny little piece of this grand, beautiful canyon. Then I was inside on in one of these houses, and again, Ali was still with me, her presence was with me, and I was lying in bed. As you do. This lady and a lady came in. I'd assume she'd be about in her 70s, and she approached me. She had a letter that had been returned to sender, and she was concerned if she did have it, but did not receive it in time to respond. So I opened it, and it was a letter from a lady that was disappointed in her coaching program. And the lady was pulling,
Can't you read your own writing there, Margaret?
No, I can't. the lady who was writing the letter was expressing disappointment in the coaching program, and this lady was pulling out. I was pulling out the things that were in the envelope, and there was also two of my book launch invitations in there. It all seemed okay, though, and not really a big issue. And the lady actually returned the book to me. This was, is this making sense, Jane.
Oh, yes, making perfect sense to me.
Good. My book was somehow part of this program that the lady offered, but because the other lady had pulled out of the program, she had to pay me for the books because she didn't, you know, she didn't, the other lady pulled out of the program, so she didn't need my book.
Mm-hmm.
So this other woman who was running the coaching program gave me two times $10 notes in payment of the book. Very weird. Then the lady who was running the coach, who was in her 70s, her name was Janet, but looked a bit like my Auntie Elaine. And she started to network me.
To network you?
Yeah, network me. You know when people, you know when you go to functions and people network you? Like, you know, they walk up to you and they say, and they make it all about you, like they ask you 20 questions about yourself.
Uh-huh.
Because they're trying to position themselves in the room, you know, as the networker.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was starting to network me and try to get an idea if she could sell me her coaching package. And then, one, I explained I was an author and I'm surprised, I surprised her. She asked me which book and I told her the one that she just bought. And then I told her I was a dream interpreter and alchemist, you know, help people to get programs. I help people to...
What do you do, Margaret?
to help programs change their unconscious beliefs into, you know, positive ones.
Yeah.
And I said, I've just started out, but I don't need any help, thank you very much. And I was still lying in the bed. And then I've written here something like, if anything, I had a feeling I was trying to sign her up. She seemed shocked, but gave me the thumbs up and left. And then there was also a man who was associated with this woman, and he was with her, and he said something like, so what does she do? And she said, oh, you know, you can ask her, but I wouldn't bother, or something along those lines. And he was kind of just still hanging around, but I didn't really talk to him at all. Then I got out of the bed and I started to pack it up. Arlie, my sister-in-law, was cleaning up the other beds, like she was taking off the sheets and folding up the beds. You know those old single beds in the 1970s?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what we were all on. And Arlie was cleaning all these beds up and packing them up. Then I folded my bed but realised I hadn't taken the sheets off. So I had to undo it and I had to take the sheets off. So I got that all fixed. Then I walked outside and there was this huge veranda out the front of the house and it was really nice and cool. Like it was a hot area, but this ginormous, it's huge veranda made out of colour bond. Like it was like a huge colour bond shed, but no walls, out the front of the house. And I liked it there, and I wanted to buy it for my home. Even though we were in this huge Grand Canyon away from everything, I thought it would be cheaper to the same price as what was in the city. Anyway, I found out that it wasn't, to my surprise. It was much the same price. And I went, oh, yeah, okay. And then I thought, you know, I thought, maybe, maybe not. And then that's it. That's all I can remember.
So you never got to see the other Greek ranch house? You just all centred on that one?
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, the other one was over there too. Like, I could see it. But no, I didn't venture in there. Actually, I don't really know. When I was inside, I don't really know which house I was in.
So you ended, the end of the dream was basically where you found out that the house in the canyon...
Yes.
Cost about the same as a house in the city. It wasn't really a saving to live out in the canyon.
Thank you much.
Okay. Couple of questions, first of all.
Yes.
The only place I got a little bit confused was you had that 70s lady that came,
yes,
with a return to send a letter. And
yes,
then later on you're talking about Janet, who reminded you of your Auntie Elaine.
That is the lady.
So it's all the same person?
Yes.
So the 70s lady with the letter to return to sender was also,
yes,
the networking, the lady that networked you, trying to,
yes,
sell you a coaching course.
Yes.
Okay, right, we've got her.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you the personalities of your three words to describe the personality of Ali and then of Auntie Elaine. So which three words would you use to describe the personality or approach to life of Ali?
Just beginning. Found her purpose. They're three sentences. Just beginning, found her purpose, getting stronger every day.
And getting stronger every day. Just beginning, found her purpose and getting stronger every day. And for Auntie Elaine, the same three things?
Chatty. A little bit manipulative. But people would say she was a bit stupid, but I didn't. But yeah.
Why would people say she's a bit stupid?
Because I think she just chats a lot.
Right, okay.
She's very, very chatty. Yes. Like, she probably just, you know what it's like sometimes, like I do, I just talk without realising what I'm saying sometimes.
Right, so you have correctly identified yourself as a chatty person, and in that dream, you see Auntie Elaine as chatty, and other people would see that as stupid, but you could relate to her because you know what it's like to be chatty, and you know that really, you know, other people might think you're stupid, but you know that you're not.
That's exactly right.
Right. For everyone listening in, just so you can join in the party and the fun and games here, if you're a newcomer to the show, what we're doing at this point is that everybody that appears in a dream represents something about the dreamer's beliefs. So as soon as you've got a person, and Margaret has got Ali and also a character, the reminder of Auntie Elaine, you ask yourself that key question: which three words would you use to describe the personality or approach to life of this person? Because that then gives us an in to explain something about the dreamer. And before we've even really done that, Margaret has offered and agreed that she sometimes finds herself in some situations to be very chatty, and wonders whether people thinks that maybe people think she's a bit stupid because she chats so much, but she knows that she's not, because she knows that people see Auntie Elaine as stupid and chatty, but Margaret's got inside information and she's not. So talking again to you, Margaret, now I just wanted to explain that to everyone listening.
Yeah, sure.
So there's lots of things obviously we're going to get from your dream, but straight up when we look, as you know, when we look at the characters in the dream, we can begin to look at some of the issues that the dream is about. And there is this funny thing about when you ask people for the three words to describe the personality or approach to life of a person, it's not always true, but it's often true that the third one is the key one. And when you hear yourself, as you listen back to this, you'll hear yourself do what a lot of people do, which is they come out bang, bang with the first two ones. So you said for Ali, she's just beginning and she's found a purpose. And then you go, and she's getting stronger every day. So that third one was a bit of a struggle to find. And it was the same when you hear yourself talk about Auntie Elaine. You hear her say she's chatty, she's a bit manipulative, and oh, people think she's stupid. Now, it's often the case that third one is the most important identifier of all, and the one that actually relates to the dream. All three relate, but it's that last one that tends to be the one. It's almost like the unconscious mind is saying, oh, don't mention, oh, please don't say it. Oh, please don't say people think she's stupid. Oh, please don't think, you know, she's getting stronger every day. It's like that's the bit we're kind of tricking the unconscious to bring out. So it's quite often good to put emphasis on that third one. So we know that one of the issues in your dream may be that Margaret, when was your dream, Margaret?
Last night.
So a dream always refers to the day or two before, that 24 to 48 hours, as you know. So one of the issues that came up for you to consider and process while you were asleep last night was the issue of around chattiness, or how do I think other people perceive me? Do I think people sometimes perceive me as stupid? What is the value of talking, chatting, et cetera, et cetera. And you've also got that in your dream there with the networking, or being networked, as you so aptly put it. And when you describe being networked, that was quite a chatty performance too, because the networker had to ask you a quick 20 questions basically to work out whether it was worth her sticking around or whether she was going to move on to the next person. So there's a kind of chat up thing there too. So definitely questioning something around issues of words, what you say, how much you say, and, you know, perceived stupidity. Arlie was with you from the beginning to the end in the dream. She kind of was with you at the beginning. Her spirit was there in the dream and in the Greek ranch house. And at the end, she was packing up with you as well. So we know that this essence of Arlie is really important in the dream. She's just beginning. She's found her purpose and she's getting stronger every day. So all of those three things are really lovely, powerful things. So your dream is about you in some area of your life, just beginning something, having found your purpose and getting stronger every day. So that's right up front there at the beginning. And then the dream is investigating areas or issues around that and so on. And of course, the thing that really jumps out of your dream is all those 70s, isn't it? Because you've got the lady in her 70s, and then at the end you mentioned that the single beds were the 1970s style. Okay, so what we do in the 70s is we either strike off the zero, as with any big number in a dream, and go back 7 years, or when, particularly because you called it the 70s and the 1970s beds, I feel we're probably more so referencing the 1970s as an era.
So I was born in 1972, so that's the first 8 years of my life, the 70s.
Okay, so you're from a 1970s baby child.
Yeah.
You were brought up in the 1970s. Just the single beds, those fold up beds, where did they play a part in your life?
They actually, my other auntie, which is Auntie Elaine's sister, when we used to visit and stay with her, she had them. That's what we slept on.
And when did you used to visit her, just for holidays or?
Yeah, very rarely, because she lived in Brisbane and we were in New South Wales at the time. So, you know, a couple of times, maybe three or four times maximum. Maybe no, just a couple, yeah.
Nothing stands out to you about the visits or the feel of those times?
There was one incident that was quite bad with regards to my father. We were there staying at my auntie's house in Brisbane with the 70 beds. and my father actually has got a very bad temper, and he actually lost his temper. And we were all, you know, a bit shocked and didn't know what to do. And Dad said, right, we're packing up, we're going home. And he literally packed us all up and we walked down the road to catch the train to start going back to New South Wales. I'm embarrassed to say that.
And you did actually continue the journey. You did go home.
I don't think we did. I actually think he actually ended up calming down. But we actually did start. Like, we had packed all the bags. I remember walking down the street. I can remember my auntie coming in the car and saying, Sandy, don't be silly. But he was so angry. And we were all just, like, I wasn't going to say anything. And Mum and my sister were just, you know, following Dad. And I think we went back, but do you know what? Yeah, I think we went back.
Have you any idea what he was angry about?
Probably just intuitively. It would have been the same thing. So, you know, either he got offended by something or he misunderstood somebody or he felt stupid. There you go.
Yeah, bingo.
He would have felt intimidated and stupid, and that would and then he felt uncomfortable, and he reacts in the way of packing up and running, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were brought up in the 70s. Just to recap that little insight that you got, there were big insight actually. You were brought up in the 70s with a father who, when he felt intimidated, felt stupid, or probably felt that other people judged him as stupid. Whereas in fact, they probably had no such judgment at all. And his response to that was to pack up and go home.
Yes. And I've inherited that belief.
So you've inherited the belief that people, that you think that people see you as stupid when you feel intimidated. And you may or may not have an automatic response to think, oh, look, I'll just pack up and go home then. Oh, I'm over it. I'll pack up.
I try to be very aware of that. Try to be very aware of my, you know, initial responses. Oh, I feel intimidated. I feel a bit stupid. But I just try and work through that. Like, I realise that it's not necessarily the reality.
Yes, yeah.
Or the truth. And I know that I've inherited that from my father.
Yeah.
So I just try to say to myself, don't be stupid.
Well, that actually fits really well, you see, because at the end of the dream, when you're doing the packing up of the bags, it's not in anger, it's not going somewhere, it's in the dream, and we'll come back to this, it's in the dream because you've sorted something out, and then you actually go on from there to love that place so much that you actually consider buying it. And also you go on from there to go, what you focus on, the house there, is the outside, the front veranda of the house that has no walls. So it's almost like, you know, what's outside the house is what's open, what's on view, what's out there. And it's something you wanted to. It's almost like there, unlike your father feeling intimidated and stupid and let's pack up and let's go home, I'm over this, I'm angry. It's almost for you like, I'm out there anyway. I can put this behind me. Packing up the bags is beds, as in I'm out there. I can put this behind me. There's no walls here. This is so good. I'm even considering buying it. We'll come back to all of that later. I love about your dream the very beginning that you've got that beautiful, you know, you're up high looking down, and what you see is this beautiful patch of green, and it's really quite idyllic with, did you say cows and cattle there?
Yeah, cows, yeah.
Yeah, what do they remind you of? What's the personality of a cow?
Yeah, soft, docile, calm. Yeah.
That's beautiful. So we often go up in our dreams, like at a really high, to take, say, a bird's eye view, to look down on our lives and see the big picture of what's actually happening for us. And remembering always that this dream is about the last 2 days, because you had this dream last night. So you had some need to go up and look down, and you went, oh, look at that. Isn't my life beautiful? It's so docile. It's so calm. It's so green. It's so beautiful. And then you take a different viewpoint. You go, oh, God, it's on the edge of a ridge in a canyon. And as you said in the dream, as you quoted to me, you just don't realize, do you? Now, one dream interpretation technique, as you know, because you are a dream analyst and alchemist yourself, is to look into a dream and look for a pair of opposites. And I know you haven't looked at this dream too much because you only had it last night and you've saved it for today's show. So we're going through this together. But you go into a dream and you look for a pair of opposites. And you've just told me that your green patch was calm. And docile. And then we stretch back to look at the fact that it's actually balanced on the edge of a ridge in a canyon. It's like, shit, well, that's not calm. Well, you just don't realise, do you? That's been balanced up there.
Yeah, and I remember thinking that's a really odd spot. Like, yeah, I did. I thought, oh, that's really odd. But I thought, well, but that's the way it is, and that's okay.
Okay, so the beginning of a dream often sets the theme. And the theme of your dream was, I feel quite calm. From a point of distance, I can see beautiful peace and beautiful calm and a kind of docility as well, and it's really lovely. But I can also see that, oh, it's a bit risky. It's kind of like, it's a bit odd. You know, my situation in life is a bit odd and a bit risky, even though I am actually quite calm and docile about it. And it's very fertile because it's green, but, God, it's a bit risky, really.
It's odd. I like the term a bit odd, yes.
Yeah. Does that describe you very well, Margaret?
I think so. You have to be a bit odd, don't you, Jane?
Oh, yes, you have to be a bit odd. I think it, for anybody to be, as everybody, dream analysts and alchemists or not, that are growing and developing the world, surely the point of it really is to become individuals. And in our in reaching our points of individuality, I guess we're odd. Because, you know, you're not your average kind of cow standing in a field, are you, anymore?
That's right.
So there's some aspect of you that's saying I'm odd, I'm different, I'm calm, but I do also feel that, you know, I'm holding that calm together because, as you just said to me, that's what the situation is. I'm actually in a precarious, huge canyon, but that's the way it is, and I can hold on to this by finding this little patch of green and calm, an anchor of docility in a sense, and if I can hang in there in that sense, I've got it, you know. That's kind of like the opening. And then from there you then notice these two ranches that are kind of Greek. So I don't know if you have ranches in Greece, but what does what
They were like ranch, like, because, you know, they're properties, but ranch was the word that came to mind, and but the houses were very Greek style.
Okay, so translating for our international listeners, in Australian, when we say a property, we mean a small farm. But ranch isn't really an Australian term, is it?
No, it's American.
It's American, and it
is
means...
Yeah, go on.
A ranch is an American farm, isn't it?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, Michael's just writing me a note. He's obviously about to tell me what it really is. Michael is doing the IT side. He says... It's all Greek to me, so he's just being funny. He's an oddity as well. Does it go back to your perch, Michael? I thought he was about to educate us there.
No, I thought we were going to be enlightened. That's right.
So what I see at the moment is you've got an Australian farm, a property, which also has American connotations. It's a ranch, which is also Greek. So you say the building was kind of Greek.
Yeah.
What do you see as the personality of a Greek building or the kind of people that would live in a Greek house in the country?
It's pillars, ancient.
Ancient, that's what I was thinking.
Keep going. I think Ali was, her first husband was Greek. No, he was Italian. I don't know. That's ancient. And I don't know. I also just feel that it's linked with Ali somehow.
Okay. Ancient and linked with Ali.
Yeah.
Does Ali do any work around Greek or Greek anything?
No.
No, okay.
I've been to the Greek islands. I wonder if that, because I really liked it.
What did you like about it?
I like the weather, the relaxing lifestyle, you know.
So if you put those two together, the ancient aspect of Greek and the lifestyle that you really loved, what picture's coming up for you now, ancient and lifestyle?
I can just see this Roman fellow in a robe.
So you've gone back to Italian again, Italian.
I know. That's why I was.
Yeah. So you put that together. Ancient. I mean, I know where this is going. I'm trying to get it out of you here. So you're going down the right track. You've got ancient. You've got lifestyle. You've got a Roman fellow in a robe now. What? Put all these things together. What's the kind of word that would combine all of these things? What's ancient Greek about, and what's a guy in a Roman toga all about?
Philosopher.
Okay, we got philosopher. Thank you.
Wow.
That's one aspect of it. I was seeing with the Greek there, particularly with what you do with dreams, the ancient Greek temples, the healing temples.
I'm still pulled towards philosopher. I had something else, but it's gone now. I might come back. The Greek temples, yes. Because I keep seeing a temple.
Mm.
For sure.
So, go on.
And ancient, it's like it's an inherited as well, because it's ancient.
Yes.
Maybe my right.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're going exactly the right track. That's perfect. That's, I guess, where I was coming from with the healer there was the inherited... wisdom. So you've got this property. You've gone from balance. I'm in this precarious, odd position, but if I just focus on this calm and docility, I'm okay. And you go from there to see another vision of yourself, because, I mean, everything in a dream is a vision of yourself, but particularly buildings represent your state of mind or whatever. So you have here something that's rural. It may be slightly American. It may be slightly Australian. It's a ranch and it's a property. So from that aspect, it's something, and you're going on the cow theme again here, docility, but maybe also things that grow, what you cultivate and grow in a farm. But it's also Greek, and it's ancient, and it's got philosophical connotations and maybe inherited wisdom and so on. And it's all run down. So yeah. Putting that together, it's like I'm seeing myself now, and there's two of them. There's two Greek branches in your dream. I see myself as having the ability to grow and nurture stuff. It's a farm. Yeah. It may also have to do with America. I don't know how that is, but I can see that the roots of all of this wisdom are ancient philosophical wisdom that I feel connected with myself, whether it's Roman or Greek.
Yeah.
But it's run down. So this part of yourself is something that you were in contact with, or you perceive it as run down. It needs something done to it. And the next thing that happens when you're in there is here arrives 70s lady with letter returned to sender.
Yeah.
So you were the one that actually opened the letter in the dream. So it was kind of returned to you from the 70s. So we know there's something happened in the 70s where you probably had your finger on this feeling of ancient wisdom passed down through the generations. I can do all this stuff, but it was this communication was returned to sender when you were a young girl in the 70s. I'm not doing that.
I had an imaginary friend, yes. I used to carry it around in my hand when I was a child.
Yeah, and what was your imaginary friend's name?
I can't remember. Don't know. But and it was tolerated, but certainly not understood.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when you look back now with your adult eye of wisdom, how do you see that imaginary friend? What was she fulfilling for you as a young child?
Or what did she represent? Well, I see it as that direct link to spirit or to the ears, you know, to the centre.
Yes.
Apparently, too, Mum used to listen to me. I'd be out in the garden talking to God and all the rest of it.
Okay, that's great.
So it's that tapping in, yeah.
So you had, you feel, looking back, that in your childhood you had a connection to your spirituality, whether that was God, spirit, philosophy, ancient Greek, ancient Roman. You had a connection which you felt, even as a child, was not only natural to you but somehow inherited.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is your inheritance? Your genetic inheritance?
Well, it's not related to. Well, my father. I'm not sure what you're asking me. You've lost me.
What nationalities have you got in you?
Right. Well, Mum was, I think, fifth generation Australian, and my father was Hungarian. Is Hungarian.
So there is that connection through Hungarian of Romani. In actuality or in folklore, psychic stuff.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. And also, see, I see this part of Europe, which is very ancient, you know, Australia is more new, you know, with civilization in our terms, you know, compared to Europe.
That's exactly right. So you had a feeling, even as a child of the 70s, that you knew you had that connection with an ancient place, a kind of magical mystery place that you didn't go to, but you knew was part of your inheritance. Yes. And you were in connection with your spirituality, but people probably didn't take you seriously when you were a child.
No, of course not.
So you returned that letter to sender.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me, spirit. Don't talk to me, God. I'm not listening anymore because people are going to think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
But now, just recently, whatever it was you did in the last couple of days, you got back into contact with that and you're ready to open that letter. No, I'm going to listen now.
Yeah.
Because like Ali, I'm just beginning something new. I found my purpose and I'm getting stronger every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so you get that part in the dream. It's like, yes, okay, I'm going to listen. I'm ready to tune into all that stuff again. Watch me go. So that's good. And then after that is where you then get into this talking about the coaching, the book launch, and the networking. So it's like this almost goes, and okay, so now I'm back in contact with this stuff. Oh, God, what have I got to, do coaching? But what are the pragmatics now? How do I do the business side of this coaching, networking, book launch? And this means I've got to put a public face on things, and this means that people are going to see that I'm stupid.
Yep.
So this is where the insecurity, we've been quite secure in this dream up to now. We've got past the fact that you're an oddity balanced on the ridge in a canyon. We've got past the fact that that's how life is, so I can cope with that. I'm calm. We've got past the fact that you're now back in contact with your spiritual ancient wisdom.
Yeah.
And we've got contact with all of that. And now it's like, God, I've now got to join, like, you know, 2011, and I've got to do this networking thing. And there's book launch.
Yes, I find that very, yes.
did something happen in the last couple of days that reinforced that feeling for you of, oh, no, here we go, this is bringing up the old stuff about people are going to judge me as stupid?
The only thing, a couple of days ago, I was actually helping a friend through an issue where she had paid a lot of money for a coaching program, and it hasn't been delivered to what they promised.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very, very disappointed. And so she actually had written a letter of complaint and was taking it a bit further. So I was just, you know, she was just offloading to me about that. And I think what was going through my mind at the time was, again, this networking thing. You know, sometimes, I'm really putting myself on my head on the chopping block. I think, you know, you go to, sometimes you can go to some networking places, and it, just because somebody has the ability to network well does not mean that they have the skills, the abilities, or the desire of good intention.
Mm.
And I just saw that big example because, yeah, this coaching program came from a very good networker, very good marketer.
Yeah.
But that coaching program could not deliver. Yeah.
Right, that's clear. So what you're seeing there is, and your experience in the last couple of days is that the business side of things, the marketing, the networking or whatever, is not necessarily related to the ability to deliver either the coaching or the healing
product.
The product. Yeah, that you see them as two separate things, yeah. And would you say that in your life you're in a position looking ahead where you're thinking you're going to have to wear both hats?
Yeah.
And so your unconscious mind is saying to you, which is true, which is totally true, you know, these are actually two different skills and often you can't do both. But hey, you know, that's what you've got. You've got your little life's what it is, as you said at the beginning, you've got your little patch of green and it's on a precarious edge. And at the beginning, it was almost like, I've got to deal with what I've got here. So it's kind of like this part of the dream is a feeling of, I would like to be able to employ or get someone that is professional at the marketing to do that side of it for me, and then I will follow up with my ancient healing wisdom, what I can do, whereas the dream is saying your unconscious is feeling that the emphasis, or you're feeling, oh God, the emphasis is going to be on the businessing, the networking, the marketing, and am I at the end of the day, once I've put all my effort into that, actually going to be able to draw on my core ancient qualities?
Yep.
Which isn't to say that you, of all people, can't actually do both. I mean, you know, I'm sure you have, as a chatty, not stupid person, I'm sure that you can sell yourself extremely beautifully and you can network wonderfully and deliver your goods as well. I have absolutely no doubt about that at all. But your dream is saying that your unconscious mind does have doubts, and it's explaining why.
Yep.
It's explaining with reference to the particular experience you had the day before where you were helping a friend who had actually witnessed the fact that a good marketer is often a good marketer and can't follow through with the actual stuff. And I guess the flip side of that, what the agony of your dream there is, the flip side is, what if I, Margaret, am an extraordinarily wonderful, wise dream interpreter, alchemist, healer, and the lot, which of course you are, but what if I can't do that networking stuff? What if my total skills are there, and so therefore I'm going to fail at the business, you know, side of it?
Yeah.
And we'll find a way around that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I also like the fact that part of your dream, it's like you mentioned two lots of $10 that was selling or buying your book, and you mentioned 20 questions, and of course two tens is 20.
Yeah.
And the feeling there, was that kind of push, wasn't it? Answer 20 questions while I'm here. It's all logical. Get to the end of the 20 questions and I've got my answer for you, as opposed to the kind of work that you or I do, where we may ask a lot of questions, but we don't know what they're going to be before we start. It's much more intuitional.
That's exactly right. You never know where it's going to lead you.
No, and you just got to go with where it's leading. You know,
you've got to,
you're totally off the logical hook whatsoever. So it's actually very difficult to swap hats from the one to the other, and that's what your unconscious mind is going through there. And at the end of your dream, you were still lying in bed, which is kind of like as a metaphor for you, because it's like the dream analyst, well, where else would you be? I'm in bed having a dream, actually. I don't know if that's what it means. But who is it that you say you don't need their help at the end of the dream? What was that bit about not needing help?
Let me have a look. Oh, it was the 70s, the lady in her 70s. I didn't need her help.
That's right. And the help that she was offering was networking for you, really, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I'm not quite sure exactly at the moment how that fits the 70s, except that she was like Auntie Elaine, that's right, and she was chatty, manipulative, and maybe stupid. So you don't want, that's what you're saying in the dream, I kind of don't want the help of anyone, whether it's me or someone representing me, if they're going to be chatty and a bit manipulative and make me look stupid.
Yes.
I'm a bit concerned here because this lady, this networker, his name is Janet and my name is Jane Teresa. So kind of like Jane T could be me.
No.
You see me as chatty, manipulative and stupid.
I have to be very careful here. No, not at all. When we started going down here, I went, oh no, you've got to think. Not at all, Jane. That name is directly related to, I can't on air.
No, that's okay. As long as
it's related to my other friend.
I was only making a joke.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It's okay.
Because, off the air, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but, that's all right.
It's related to my other friend. It's related, yeah.
Yeah, that's all good.
Okay.
I'm only going to go into a couple more things here before doing the Dream Alchemy practice. And one is the two lots of $10 and the 20, because that was really quite important. So if we go back 20 years...
Yeah, right.
Where does that take us to?
I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
First year out of school. Where was I at 18? Oh, I was at uni. University.
Yeah. So
and, I think I only got to second semester.
Were you chatting too much?
Oh, yes. Chat. Having too much fun.
Having too much fun. So why was it not for you in a nutshell?
I just wanted to be free. It was too restrictive for me.
Yeah, too restrictive.
Yep.
So there's a reference to the past of what's restrictive. And I guess we've just been talking there about the networking process or the marketing process as being perhaps quite a logical process. I'll ask you 20 questions, etc. Whereas we've just described a dream analyst or alchemist as in the moment of the work. I mean, around all that, of course, you have to do all this logical stuff. But when you're actually engaging with a client, you're in free flow. And it may sound to an outsider that you're asking questions that you knew you were going to ask from the outset, but that is actually not true. You're in free flow. And you've just described there that you left your university course because you didn't feel free.
That's exactly right. And if you look at university, it's very old tradition educational style.
Mm.
And so that's very structured.
Mm.
You know, in my perception, it's very structured and there's not a lot of movement there. So, yeah,
so you're
that makes
really,
a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's making sense. So you're looking in the stream about basically how can I move to the next stage in my life while either not doing the structured side of stuff myself because it inhibits me from what I do or finding someone else to take over that aspect for me.
Yeah.
So in the dream, you're lying in bed and you say to the 70s lady, the networker, I don't need your help. So in the dream, there's a sense that you actually don't, maybe in the dream, your view is, I don't need that amount of help. Maybe I can just, find my way through my business without taking on that huge networking, huge marketing kind of sale.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a quieter, gentle, more docile cows sitting on the green patch approach that I can take.
That's right. You hit the nail on the head there, I think. Yep.
Okay. So does that fit with that very last part of the dream where you describe the front of the veranda where you would really like to be out there in the open, up front, And you described it as like a colour-bond shed, but with no walls.
Yeah.
So what's a colour-bond shed used for, usually, in your experience? What is it? Who would have a colour-bond?
Well, yeah, just store machinery, your tools. Your tools for productivity, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
So you want your tools... Oh, this is so good, Margaret. You want your tools not to be so much in store, but to be on show with no walls in the front of your house.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about your business, you're saying, your dream is saying, and the dream doesn't tell you what to do or what not to do. It's just reflecting your current state of mind. But your current state of mind is, I don't really need to do loads of marketing or pushing or 20 questions or networking. I'll just make my tools available for everyone to see right up front.
Yep.
And then they can choose whether to talk to me or not, because here I am, I'm sitting here, I've got the skills, this is what I do, guys. Like it, knock the door, don't like it, don't knock the door, but I'm not going to go out and be made to chat, and you think that I'm stupid.
Yes.
we're going to move to doing a dream alchemy practice, but can you wrap for me what you think you got from our interpretation that we did together there, and how it relates... You know, what you would like to achieve by doing dream alchemy moving forward?
Okay. I can so understand, and particularly in the last week, of me connecting back into that trust, of the universal trust of what is, and going with that process. So I'm becoming more into who I truly am. So that's the green patch. And then coming into that fear of, you know, that inherited belief of I'm stupid. It was interesting because I've been thinking about this a lot, about how I can, because this networker in the dream with that name Janet is a very, the whole marketing, and if you're actually doing research and listening to the mainstream, which is going back to when I was 18 at university, you know, going with the flow, being within structure and within traditional ways, but you would do things in this order, in the 20 questions.
Mm.
It doesn't suit me at all. I don't like it, and I'm just trying to find out how I can do that. So I've actually surrendered to who I am and what works best for me and accepted that and gone, hey, I'm going to put it all out there. And whoever comes to me is meant to come to me, and I can do my healing work.
That's beautiful. So your dream is a perfect, absolutely perfect reflection of that.
Yep.
And by, you know, if a listener might say, well, you went to bed knowing that, so what extra information, I mean, I didn't know that, so that's how we've done the dream interpretation, but what extra information has interpreting your dream helped you to understand about yourself from what you didn't know from an unconscious point of view?
That, to really connect me back into that childhood memory of, that, you know, that total acceptance that children have of themselves, you know, and just like we all go through this and it's just the way it is, but, you know, as we grow up and we have to conform, you know, we lose connection with that.
Mm.
So it's great to know that I'm, you know, it's like a validation for me that I am coming, getting back into connection, because it's been, you know, it's a journey that you take and you choose. So that's really nice. I feel really comfortable and powerful that I'm doing that or have done it.
Yes.
Like I've linked back in. So that's like, you know, that overwhelms me actually.
That's fantastic. Yeah, go on.
I've forgotten the question.
what extra insight did you gain about your unconscious by looking at the dream?
Yeah, so that's really good. There's a big kick there, so that's excellent. And the other thing is too is that I don't need. It's okay. Like my unconscious accepts. So I did not have to conform to do to be successful and to do my stuff.
Good.
And that is a huge tick.
Yeah.
So that's been up to 38 years of my life, I've struggled with that.
Yeah.
Just to be a bit, you know, to be a little bit odd.
I think that's absolutely fantastic, and I endorse that. And just explaining a little bit more for our listeners, it's if you discover through a dream that your unconscious mind has a different belief than your conscious mind, then that is where you will probably expect difficulties and obstacles to be in your way, you know, because consciously you think, yeah, I'm going to do this. like Margaret said there, this is the way to do my business. I'll put it out there. I'll surrender. They can come to me. And if her unconscious mind had a different opinion, it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. She'd be automatically blocking it because your unconscious mind has a, causes you to respond in the world in different ways. So what Margaret's saying there is that the value of the dream was showing where her, I mean, how do we know where our unconscious mind is? It's unconscious by definition. So what she's saying is her dream shows her that her unconscious mind is actually, it's not only, well, I, with her, but it's really with her in a big way. So she knows that she can go forward without any feelings of sabotage from there. So that's kind of there. So what we would then do with the dream alchemy practice, Margaret, of course, is rather than looking to change an unconscious belief that has been limiting you, although we can do that, there are a couple there in the dream, we're more likely to go in and choose one of those unconscious beliefs that you didn't know about that's really barracking for you, like that childhood connection that you had, and use the dream alchemy to really amp that up, to really power it up. So I've got an idea in mind, but would you like to design your own dream alchemy practice around that?
Oh, can I be spoiled? Can I ask for some indulgence?
Can you be a spoiled child?
Can I?
Yes, you can.
I'd like that. Do that. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. I want you to, would you like a visualization or an artwork practice?
Artwork's much nicer for me.
Okay. I want you to be a child again. And I want you to select your art tools, but remember these are children's art tools, so they might be the cardboard cereal boxes or crayons or toilet roll holders or whatever children use these days for art. Because
well,
I want you to
got plenty of that.
Got plenty of that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want you to create a miniature, a model, color bond veranda. You know, like your color bond shed with no walls.
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
And then you can put little things in it from glittery stars or wands or whatever that represents your connection to spirit. I know you've already got this one, haven't you?
Brilliant.
And I want you to play, and you can have some little stick figures that you take in, you know, that you put in, and you show you walk them around the inside of your car. Just in other words, remembering as if you were even younger than 7, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. Across those ages, so you're playing with your imaginary friends or imaginary feelings within in the open veranda color bond. So you're really endorsing the end of the dream as yes, I want this. I really want this.
And
also remember the end of your dream was you actually considered going for a cheap option because you thought maybe it'll be cheap in the canyon where nobody's going to walk past the front door and see my tools.
That's right.
But your
and
dream,
hide.
That's right. Hide in the canyon. But your bottom line of your dream was, well, it's going to be the same in the city. So you might as well just put your little, color bond front veranda right plonk in the middle of the city where all the passers-by can come and play.
So
what you're doing by doing that dream alchemy practice is really amping up your unconscious beliefs and really reconnecting with that so that you're living it while doing the artwork. You're actually, really hammering it home into the core of your being as you move forward, making these decisions about how you're going to engage your business clients.
That'd be brilliant. Thank you, Jane Carey.
Well, thank you, Margaret, for being part of our show and for being such a wonderful, lovely, laughing energy as well. Trouble is, you just talk too much. You're really quite stupid. No, you're not.
I have entertained everybody.
You have. You're just a real treasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane.
Well, I know that you'll have loved that one. And I just wanted to add there that one of the advantages of, or one of the fun and plus sides of doing dream alchemy practices is not only, you know, you can interpret your dream, you can understand the way that your mind works and you can leave it there. And that gives you an awareness, but it doesn't really create the change. As you know, if you've listened to many of these podcasts, you really have to do the dream alchemy practice, whether it's a visualization, whether it's artwork, whatever it is, you have to do it in order to make the change. But the thing is that most dream alchemy, if not all dream alchemy, is actually fun to do. You know, and that one with Margaret there, getting down and playing, being a child and, you know, doing art that's only a level 5, 6, 7 year old art kind of child level. It's fun. The visualizations are fun. The artwork's fun. When I said a writing one, they're fun too. The point of them is to be fun so that it really engages your unconscious mind and you actually, it's the act of doing that that creates the change in your unconscious mind that either unblocks beliefs that have been limiting you or enhances aspects of your unconscious mind that can actually contribute a lot more to your potential and achievement, health and well-being, and happiness, meaningfulness in life and purpose and so on. So when you have a dream interpreted or if you're working on your own dreams, I do encourage you, don't stop short at interpreting. You can feel very good at that point. You can think, I've got so much from that dream. I understand so much of my life. And you're on a kind of high because you've done the detective work and you've uncovered something and you're feeling great about yourself. But please do take it the extra step. And that extra step is fun. It's getting out, it's doing something, it's moving your body, it's getting creative, and that's where the magic really happens. You step out of your left brain, restrictive, logical, this is the way it's done part of your brain, and all dream alchemy takes place in the right brain, creative, oh, let's play, let's do things differently, let's visualize, let's have fun, and that's where you actually break new boundaries and wonderful magical stuff happens. So please do, I encourage you, do your dream alchemy. Thanks for listening to another show, and I'll see you next week for what will be episode 95. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to the dream show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.